Hello and welcome to the Karikar Show. This is your host Sachin Karikar for today, and we have a very special guest today with over here as well with me. His name is Tarkesh Jha, a political analyst, an upcoming political analyst, writes a lot about sports, a freelance reporter, and also a very good friend of mine, and I would specifically also call him a meme lord as well. And recently he wrote, as the title suggests, we are going to talk about the Sachin Pilot episode today itself. And recently, Tarkesh wrote an amazing article on SwarajyaMag.com, Swaraja's official website. The title of the article being, "What are the ramifications of betting on Sachin Pilot?" So, Tarkesh, if you could just tell our listeners about a little bit about the article.
Thank you, Sachin, for having me over here. So the idea for the article obviously emerged from the prevailing situation right now. But so when I was thinking for a starting point, it was basically so the general consensus was that BJP was trying to pull off a mission like how they did it with Jyotiraditya Scindia in Madhya Pradesh a few months ago. But I saw a couple of differences over here, some glaring differences. So I decided to point them out, how Scindia's case is very different from Pilot's case in Rajasthan. And then I came to a point where I assumed that if he joins the BJP, what his potential roles could be, what are the drawbacks of inducting him into the party, and furthermore, what he can contribute to the party as well. So that was the whole crux of the article. And of course, genesis of this episode.
So if we go back to 2018, I think Sachin Pilot was one of the key figures for the Congress to get them a victory in Rajasthan. So if we look at the 2018 election per se, can we say this that it was just anti-incumbency of Vasundhara Raje, or just that it was a very good work by Sachin Pilot?
I think it was a combination of both. Let me explain that to you over here. Rajasthan, many states in the Hindi heartland or the large states as such have a very fickle electoral record so far. Like how Devendra Fadnavis was the first, I think the first of the chief minister to complete a full term in Maharashtra. So, but the thing with Rajasthan is that it has been very stable since December 1993. After a year-long presidential rule was revoked, Bhairav and Shekhawat had taken over, was sworn in as the chief minister on 3rd December 1993. And ever since then, it has been So, Congress and the BJP and the Congress have been elected to power in Rajasthan alternatively very conveniently ever since. But the catch here with Pilot is, I don't think any of these two parties suffered as massive a loss as Congress did in 2013. They were reduced to around 21 seats in a 200-seat assembly. And just a month after that, Sachin Pilot was brought in as the Pradesh Congress Committee chief. And then the two factors combined. You can say that anti-incumbency worked against Vasundhara Raje Scindia, but that has been the case since 1993 as well. But to practically multiply the party's seat count by almost five times in the next election, being the state party chief, I think that's a very commendable achievement for any leader, especially someone of his age who took over the reins in his late 30s. So I find that a very fascinating aspect.
And we actually see a lot of shift from Ashok Gehlot to Vasundhara Raje, and then Ashok Gehlot again from 2008 to 2013, and then again Vasundhara Raje and again Ashok Gehlot as well. But to be precise, can we say something like this, ki Sachin Pilot was somewhat backstabbed after the election, that he is taking up this step right now?
I pretty much believe that, but I'll also want to bring in the Congress's viewpoint from that. In that perspective. Firstly, if you are a Pradesh Congress Committee chief, and as I mentioned the last time, the numerical upstagement of the Congress from 2013 to 18 was massive. It is undeniable that Pilot had a massive role to play in that.
Yeah.
Right from reinvigorating the party ka cadre from the lowest level to reflect, to making it reflect in the assembly election.
Yeah.
But what the Congress says over here is, after he was elected, I think Congress had a very faint majority. It had 100 to 101. It's never very convenient to hold on to that majority in an assembly election. Just a very faint majority. So Ashok Gehlot managed to muster up the other 23 seats to take the tally up to 123. And that came because of his political acumen. That was came because of his experience in the state for the last 25 years.
Yeah, of course.
And hence they decided to go with Gehlot.
Yeah.
I say that's fair enough. Someone managed to get you 20-23 seats. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair enough point. But and then they say that 85 to the approval rating for Gehlot in amongst the MLAs was 85-15 against Pilot. But the thing is, see, again I bring the, in 2014 for Maharashtra over here. After BJP and Sena won a fairly resounding mandate. Do you think a new face like Devendra Fadnavis would have mustered up that amount of approval rating from the BJP MLAs at that point in time? No, but they betted. But they took the bet on him and he proved out to be a fairly successful one. He emerged to become a better leader. So I think it is about identifying the caliber of the leader that you possess at that point in time. And definitely, I think Pilot was hardly done, was hardly given his due. A deputy CM just, I don't think it stands fair constitutionally. As
yeah, but like as per, even if you are a deputy CM, the only privilege that you have is sitting in the cabinet meetings, and apart from that, nothing much. So, but then just coming to that point, in 2014, BJP decided to go with Devendra Fadnavis, who is, in at least in the political sense, who is a fairly young leader. And hasn't BJP was trying to invest in its young leaders already and trying to push these young faces for a, so these faces become are there in the state politics or the region politics for a long time. But right now, I think so Congress right now is going with the old cadre, the older generation, the people who have actually served a few terms. And so, do you think that this young talent is probably going out of Congress towards BJP?
Yeah, definitely. So, I think what you can say is the Congress's position right now is pretty much, it's worse than what BJP's position was in 2009.
Yeah.
When they opted for Lal Krishna Advani and they didn't get that much support.
Yeah.
Congress is worse at this point in time.
Yeah.
What did BJP do? They had someone as a proven chief ministerial candidate, someone who had been chief minister for 15 years in Narendra Modi.
Yeah.
They put their bets on him despite opposition from the party's top leadership. Such as the Advani is the Murli Manohar Joshi.
Yeah, of course.
When you bring Congress right now, see, I agree that Gehlot and Kamal Nath have been stalwarts for the party ever since. But when you look, they aren't in a position right now to recover back nationally.
Yeah,
so does it make sense to give Gehlot a chief ministerial post at 68? He'll be 73 by next point in time. Instead, you know, it's a very fast-changing, it's a very fast-changing times that we live in. Either you need a strong ideology to guide people by your side.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you need to give them something so that they're, you need to ensure that they're content with what they have. And especially younger leaders, because they always know that they have time to shift elsewhere and create their base over there. So, in that way, I still don't understand the I understand why they went with Kamal Nath and Ashok Gehlot, but I still don't get the logic behind it, because it doesn't really add up, and especially in Rajasthan, when as we see the patterns, every 5 years the government changes. By that, if you take a 27 year sample space, Congress will next come to power in 2020.
Yeah.
Sachin Pilot will be 50 years old then. Why will he wait for 80 years at this, at the prime of his career when he already has proven his worth back? So, like you, in some ways, ask for it when you don't go for it.
But just coming to the whole, right now the whole case is in the court. So let's talk a little bit about the court case in general as well right now, about the speaker versus speaker and Ashok Gehlot on one side and Sachin Pilot on the other side. And let's talk a little bit about the whole court case right now. The whole situation is playing out in the courtroom, and Sachin Pilot has a few good lawyers, a few good advocates in the form of Harish Salve and Mukul Rohatgi as well. So what's your comment on that?
So I don't know. So what I was trying to say is, ever since Sachin Pilot gave that comment, I'm not joining BJP, everyone has taken that at face value.
Yeah.
Not everyone, obviously not everyone, but most people, many people I talk to, put that at face value. Because one thing about, one very prominent thing in politics, it's about acting as, like coming out, appearing as a martyr in front of the masses. That's what happened with Sindhya. He didn't take any post for 15 months.
Yeah.
And eventually walked his way out and people got the sentiment. That's what is happening with Pilot. Why will he say the next day that he is in talks with the BJP? And when you look, like when you read between the lines, if he's represented by someone as respected as Mr. Harish Salve and Mr. Rohatgi, I think Mr. Rohatgi was representing the BJP side in the court case that happened during the whole Maharashtra fiasco last year.
Okay.
And so, you get to know, and they eventually managed to maintain the status quo. They managed to stall the disqualification.
Yeah.
So he got his way through the court and through the court. He didn't get himself or the other 18 MLAs with him disqualified.
Yeah.
And he was represented by lawyers which in some ways indicate that, yes, he is in talks with the Bharatiya Janata Party.
Okay. So about the BSP case as well. So there has been a lot of issues with the six BSP MLAs, which Congress is counting as its own. And I think so it was Mayawati who sent out a letter, sent out a whip basically, that if there can be no merger on a state level, if the party, or if a national level party, if does not merge with the other party as well. So any this, because it was Mayawati who was actually supporting Congress, who said that she wanted to support Congress only to keep communal forces at bay. But it seems like there is a fight in the camp right now between BSP and Congress as well.
That's pretty much very tricky, because I get Mayawati's logic that you can't count the merger if the BSP is an accelerated party, so the MLAs can't merge on a state level, but they can obviously defect at the state level. As simple as two-third of BJP's MLA moving to Congress, or Congress MLA's moving to BJP in Maharashtra or any other state. You can just twist the words. You can call it as not a merger, but eventually you can say that you have bypassed the anti-defection law and ADF in some way.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens in the court in that point and over there. Mayawati has come into action at a very the crucial stage of the whole scenario.
So
and,
So just to talk about this, is Mayawati looking at won't this be damaging for Mayawati and Congress relations in the long run? Because both the parties are, if we talk about Congress, we know at a central level it's at the very lowest, and if you look at the state level as well, Mayawati's BSP has not done that great in UP as well. So won't it be more damaging for BSP as it loses a frenemy of sorts, to say the least?
So the thing is, the thing with these regional parties is, I don't think they have any permanent friendships. Because BSP has had history with both Congress and the BJP in the past.
Yeah.
In UP as well. And
yeah.
See, Ramya, the 6th MLA unit, 200 MLA legislative assembly. And you were in some ways ditched by Ashok Gehlot. Got the system is completely en masse, inducted into his party. He's saying that he has been dished. I'm not putting words in the mouth. But so the thing is, when you are just 6 MLAs and the tensions as such are so arousing in Rajasthan right now that I think she can get a better. I think she will be in a better position to break down the Ashok Gehlot government, because those MLAs are very decisive. And considering that she has had history with both the Congress and the BJP as well, it is not very surprising for this whole scenario to come up right now.
Yeah.
I think this is a very long-drawn battle. When 15 days ago, everyone was saying Pilot will join BJP within 24 hours or something, it's never like that. When you have such high numbers at risk, high stakes at risk, it is going to be a very long drawn battle, and it's not very surprising for BSP to come into the scene right now. But about Congress losing her as a frenemy, or she losing Congress as a frenemy, I think their situation in the Uttar Pradesh right now is such that whatever happens right now won't matter in the 2022 UP election.
Yeah.
Anyway, they will have to come together to put up a fight.
Yeah. So, just to shift our focus right now, what's the future like for BJP? So, is that the Rajasthan government probably going to fall, or is it's just being saved by a whisker?
Okay. If you see the numbers right now, the numbers are very delicate in both parties. In
both the caps.
Yeah, but no one is having a very clear, clearly ahead in the race, it was in MP with the BJP, like Sindhya took away 19 MLAs and effectively the government fell. But it is not going to happen like this, because I think Sachin Pilot has under-delivered on his promise but if you would have brought like 30 MLAs, then the situation would have been much more convenient.
Yeah.
But right now he has 18 plus 1, so that's 19 MLAs.
Hmm.
Then the 6 of BSP, so Congress 107 minus 25, it comes down to 82.
Hmm.
Then there are the there's one CPM candidate who has been suspended from the party last month.
Yeah.
There is the Bharatiya Tribal Party who extended their support to Congress, but the leader of that party was taken into hostage, and then he created a video. And then there are the 12 independents.
Yeah.
So it's a very neck-to-neck battle right now. Just coming to what the future holds for BJP, I think it is very interesting to consider what the future holds for BJP if Sachin Pilot comes into the fold eventually. Because everyone is very prominently undermining the Vasundhara Raja factor over here.
Yeah, exactly. That was supposed to be my next question itself. What about Sachin Pilot joins the BJP here in Congress? He was overshadowed by Ashok Gehlot, and maybe he joins BJP and there he might be overshadowed by Vasundhara Raja, who is still a force to reckon with in Rajasthan.
True. She's pretty much a force to reckon with. She has around 40 MLAs who are her loyalists and will follow her instructions completely. So what I think is BJP is also trying to play an internal game over there.
Yeah.
See, Vasundhara Raja Sanjay, it's like Gehlot and her have, both of them have worked very conveniently, very simultaneously, without like going hammer and tongs against each other.
Yeah.
They've pretty much gotten power after every 5 years. And I think the Congress wants to maintain that status quo. They want Ashok Gehlot to remain as the CM.
Yeah.
But I think BJP wants an alternative to emerge within their ranks.
Of course.
And I don't think there will because the caste dynamics and everything in Rajasthan are so complex, I don't think one particular unifying force can emerge in Rajasthan.
Yeah, definitely.
So they are trying to bring in Sachin Pailit, who has support of the Gujjars and the Meenas, who are just to be clear, they were both these communities were pretty much against each other. There was a major scuffle in 2007, which resulted in many deaths because of the fights that emerged in these two communities. And Pailit, at that young age, managed to pacify both these communities. Now he's a leader who's actually looked up to by both these communities. And the interesting thing is, this camp has around 5 MLAs from the Meena community as well.
Okay.
So I think he's cracked the missing caste code for BJP over there, and they're looking for a combined strategy to create an alternative. So you have Gajendra Singh Shekhawat, the Jal Shakti minister. He's a very prominent. He's a very instrumental leader from Jodhpur as well. Defeated Vaibhav Gehlot, Ashok Gehlot's son in the Lok Sabha election.
Okay.
So they will try to bring 2-3 individuals and eventually sideline Vasundhara Raje. But that won't happen in this assembly. I think if BJP manages to come into power, I think Gehlot will have to take a role in the center for the time being.
Yeah.
But from 2024 election, he will play a vital role in Rajasthan politics for BJP. And see, for Pailit right now, BJP looks like a better deal because it offers, arguably a better deal, because it offers him more roles to play both in the state and the center.
Yeah, and I think so. If we look at Sachin Pailit's history itself, before 2014, he was more focused on central politics, on politics in Delhi, rather than mainly the state politics. And for Sachin Pailit, if he's probably has discussed by a lot of people, he might start his own regional party. Definitely, then it becomes a very regional faction. And how much of the support can he translate into that regional party's support? How much of his current support can he translate into support for a regional party? Also, you also pointed out in one of our conversations as well that under Sachin Pailit's leadership as well, Congress has failed to win a single seat in the Lok Sabha elections in Rajasthan as well. So, definitely that's a question mark over there as well.
True. I think BJP won 25 seats both in 2014 and 2019. About the regional party thing, there are two things over here. First is, can Pailit pull off a regional party successfully? And secondly, is going with a regional party a possibility right now? I'll elaborate on both these. If Pailit wanted to start a front against the Congress or wanted to create a third alternative in Rajasthan, effectively he should have gathered more than 19 MLAs with it. Secondly, for all the support that he has, the Gujjar community comprises 5% of the caste of the total votes in Rajasthan.
Yeah.
Combine that with the Meena, and I think I wrote that in the article as well. There are 5 regions where these two castes find prominence.
Yeah.
And they form up to be 28 seats.
Yeah.
28 legislative assembly seats.
Yeah.
So those 28 seats in some ways were decisive for BJP to not come to power, because Congress gained 16 seats over there from 2013 as compared to 2018, and BJP lost the exact 16. So he can, the influence that he has at this age, 42, is at best can stimulate a party to come into power, cannot come into power all by his own. Is what I believe. He could definitely get better in the coming years, because it's commendable what he has done at 42, in my opinion. Secondly, is floating a regional party correct at this point in time? He wanted to be the CM of Rajasthan when Congress went. I don't think that is a possibility with any regional party. Secondly, regional parties were a fad when they had a veto in national level.
In the 90s,
whole socialist government eras, when you had the PSP coming out in 84, the SP coming out in 92, NCP in 99,
out of nowhere, even someone like Devegowda becoming the prime minister as well. Like, yeah. So yeah, you could really understand the importance of regional parties back then.
Those parties had a veto back then. Now, when you are gradually shifting towards elections where you put a face in front of a face, you don't put a party in front of a party, it's becoming a very
presidential form of election in
presidential form of elections. So in that case, I don't think there's much gain for him to come emerge as a emerge as a remarkable force all by his own. He needs political capital. He needs a lot of the base support, the cadre support that he has.
Yeah.
If he wants that instant success, a regional party, you never know, man. Eventually, after 5 years, they end up playing a fiddle for someone to come in, into power. Don't develop an independent existence.
Definitely, that's there. So just coming to BJP's plan post, if even if Rajasthan passes or fails for BJP right now, do you think BJP will be replicating the same playbook that they did in something like they did in Karnataka, what they did in probably even Madhya Pradesh, and what they are trying to do right now to be honest, in Rajasthan as well? Can that be done in some other states in India, and specifically talking about Maharashtra as well?
It is our home state.
Yeah, of course.
Maharashtra, I think BJP has a habit of putting a post where it is where you see some loose holes over there.
Yeah.
So Sindhya was a loose hole, and this pilot was a loose hole over here. Regarding Maharashtra, see, I've never been optimistic about how long that a government like the Mahavikas Agadi can survive.
Yeah.
You can brush off ideology, you can brush off anything just when you say it, but it never translates when you consider it electorally. And it's a very weird three-prong formation coming together to form a bleak majority. And Shiv Sena versus the NCP and the Congress, ideologically polar opposite.
Yeah, of
course. BJP has tried that with the PDP in Kashmir, never worked.
Yeah.
The Congress and the RJD and the JDU coming together in 2015.
Yeah.
They won, and after 2 years, again, Nitish Kumar came back to the BJP fold.
Yeah.
So, it's a very ideologically complicated alliance as of now, and loopholes are destined to come up. As the word is going around, already some of them have come up.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think BJP will try a similar pattern over here in Maharashtra. There are some, you can always, see, when you see at the MVA, Congress has sacrificed all their beliefs to come together with the BJP to down the BJP to somehow keep BJP away from a crucial state like Maharashtra. And eventually they've gotten 10 seats in the the cabinet of Maharashtra.
Yeah.
So obviously there will be individuals over there who aren't very happy playing a third fiddle.
Yeah, of course.
Individuals who were chief ministers, who were MPs in the past, and now they're reduced to just, they don't even have a veto right now. So a party will obviously identify that and try to capitalize on it.
Okay.
So yeah, I think something like that can happen. You never know how successful it will happen, but the science can do.
Talking about the Congress party as well right now. So Congress party has been continuously losing its young talent. and young and important talent, and for a party and a party leader who calls himself as the leader of the youth and who portrays himself as a young person, a young leader as well, continuously losing such a such talented people, isn't it damaging for Congress in the long run?
Yeah, it's pretty much very damaging because when you lose leaders of the speaker, Jyotiraditya Scindia and potentially Sachin Pilot, if you lose, then you're losing people who actually won you elections in states where you, particularly in Madhya Pradesh, were out of power for 15 years.
Yeah, of course.
So, I think, so the general consensus floating around was that the Congress wants to protect Rahul Gandhi's image at the top, and that's why there's been like hindrance for people like Pilot and Scindia to emerge.
Yeah.
But there have always been a very, like, you know where the power is going to be at the top, right?
Yeah.
You know if and when Congress will, someone from the Gandhi family will come out as the leader. So,
yeah,
what's the harm in giving people like Pilot and Scindia a chance? There's no harm.
But isn't it so that, that the center, the pole of the power is so much rigid right now and not so flexible right now that other people are so frustrated that they want to just leave that umbrella? Because I think so in the end they realize that in BJP we might have some chance, some potential of going up maybe, but till the point that Congress is led by the Gandhi family, we will probably not be able to, you know, get some lucrative opportunity or even a chance to maybe someday, if everything goes well, maybe someday become the Prime Minister.
True, very true. So all the young leaders coming up, the Congress tried in a Darbari system so far.
Yeah.
So there's the king and the queen sitting at the top, and then there's the diplomat, what do you call them? The diplomats who go and take your, who go and just give out your order somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone like the Randeep Sujrewala, the Ajay Masan.
Yeah.
So these people, basically, they don't have any views of their own.
Yeah.
And then people like Pilot and Scindia emerge who can potentially be a threat.
Yeah.
Within the party ranks, because I think there were some rumors floating around that Sachin Pilot, there were calls for Sachin Pilot to take over as the Congress president after the 2019 debacle.
Yeah.
So when these things emerge, I think it scares the central leadership of the party. Hmm. And these are young people who believe in meritocracy.
Hmm.
So these are people who believe in meritocracy, and they believe that if Scindia or Sachin Pilot play, let's take Scindia, Pilot is not in BJP so far. If Scindia plays a good role for BJP in the upcoming 2023 election, he'll get a fair share. Like, he will not be denied of that, because it's a party where it's very transparent. You might have the odd dialers over here and there, but it believes in whoever does the job gets the benefits of it.
Yeah.
So I think, that's what you need, a more meritocratic system to keep hold of young leaders. Or even if you don't give them a role nationally, at least give them chief ministerial post. Because I think whenever Scindia and Pilot stayed at the Congress, he knew that he will never become the Prime Minister for the Congress.
Yeah.
But the least you can do is give him a chief ministerial role. Because obviously, that's not a threat to Rahul Gandhi. It doesn't compete from Madhya Pradesh.
So, anyways, thank you, Tarkesh, for joining us at the Karika Show. And this will not be Tarkesh's last appearance on the Karika, first and the last appearance. I will make sure that he comes back and amazing insights. We will also be keeping the link for his Swarajya article in the description below. So please do go and read that as well. An interesting take on the Rajasthan crisis as well. And also just do follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram as well. And also just to leave you with a thought, isn't it something like the ship of Theseus where, slowly a part of the ship is being changed. So your maybe BJP's parts are being changed into Congress people as well. So something like a food for thought for all our listeners. And here is Sachin Karikar signing off. And Prasad Butkar will also be back soon for everyone who is a fan of his. And also, before we sign off as well, happy birthday to Prasad Butkar, who celebrated his birthday this week. So,
happy birthday to Prasad Butkar.
So signing off, and thank you for joining us.